Hello and welcome to the Face of Pro-Life. Today I am speaking with Dr. Lorraine Hartnett. Thank you so much for joining us
Hello.
today, Lorraine. Nice to have you back.
Thank you.
I wanted to talk to you a little bit about Obamacare because you come at it from a different perspective. You're a physician, and you would think that any health care bill would have been written to actually help doctors perform their duties and help to attract people to the profession. Do you feel that that's what this bill has done? Okay, I said it with a straight face, but I can't.
Absolutely not.
How does it affect you as a physician?
Well, on a daily basis, I see restrictions, doors shut everywhere I go. I want a test. You can't have that. And they may say that in subtle ways or not so subtle ways. So someone may come back from the hospital, and maybe 2 years ago, they would have had the test that I needed.
Right, right.
But now they'll come from the hospital, go to the nursing home, and they won't have been given that test. And I'll say, at first, it was very subtle at first. And I said, you know, why aren't they doing that? Like, they should have done that.
Right.
And I'll start getting upset with the people at the hospital. What's the matter? Didn't they realize that this person needed that test? Now I realize what's happening is money. Okay? Mm. So what we're really getting is not so much Obamacare, but Obama less care. Not Obama less, unfortunately.
Right, right.
But Obama care is less care. Okay.
So they're already pretty much enacting a lot of the things. You can feel it.
I think it's been happening subtly for a while, just these infiltrations into our culture of less care mm-hmm. for people who need it because, you know, of compassion or, you know, we're kind of brainwashed into thinking we should not do certain things for our elderly people because why should we? They're old and they're suffering and they have pain and... You know, whereas I go into the room and say to a lady who's 92, who's complaining of everything, oh, I have pain here, doctor, I have pain there, I just should die. I'm like, do you ever see any 92-year-old cars? No. You're great. Look at you. We just have to fix you up and get you home. And, you know, you see the joy on their face when someone respects them.
Right.
Because they're a human being in there.
Right. And treat them with dignity.
Right. You see, that's what it's about. It's about... I was taught to treat patients with dignity, with respect, and to do the right thing, which was always pro-life, unless they were dying. Okay, then it's pro-life into the next life, you mm-hmm. know, but always with respect. Now the training is different. There are even medical communities, and I won't name any because I don't want to get into that right now. Because I'm still working. I need to pay the mortgage. There are medical communities where the doctors are trained now to limit the care that they give. Now, of course, no one's going to tell you that.
Right.
What they do is they couch it in kind of nice terminology.
Of course.
So, you know, we train the doctors to interact with the patients and to help them understand, you know, their care and why the care at the end of life is to be compassionate. And, you know, we don't need to put an IV in your old mother. She doesn't need an IV.
She's dehydrating.
She needs a little morphine and a little Ativan. And she'll be very comfortable. And then she'll just pass on. And they'll use your terms to God, to whoever, whatever religion you happen to use.
They respect that.
Oh, yeah. They respect whatever religion. If you want a Wiccan ceremony, they'll do it for you, I'm sure. They respect them all. So they'll use your terminology. And they'll use language, which sounds so good. So when people who are not educated in this don't understand, they don't hear those words, and they don't get it, what's happening. And doctors don't get it. I think now you may think that's crazy, but doctors are really we're really taught to be doctors, and you're working all the time. You
right,
know?
Right.
You're not thinking about all this evil lurking all around you. Yeah, that's not how we were trained, and even now they're trained in this compassion of giving less care. Okay, it's not. You don't need to have your 93-year-old mother suffering with arthritis. Oh no. Even if she was shopping last week? Oh, no. Now, it's much better to send her off. And these kinds of ideas are infiltrating our medical system everywhere. They're very subtle. They're not codified like yet with Obamacare. Okay?
Right, right.
We don't have, although in Connecticut, that SUSNET that was proposed had medical homes where, you know, such a nice name, huh? A medical home where other people would make decisions about your life and the life of your family that depended on finances,
right.
Okay, and money. And their ideas of who should live or die. I mean, I won't even blame money. Let's not even blame money. If I know that, you know, the devil is a lion prowling out there ready to kill me, I mean, he just wants to kill us, right? So whether it's in the womb or before by contracepting, or whether it's when you're elderly and you're just living your life out with your family, he doesn't want you around, okay? Mm-hmm. So let's get rid of you. So I think that kind of idea sometimes helps me to say, hold on, Lorraine, this is what's really happening. So when this patient comes back from the hospital and doesn't get that test, I could easily blame the doctors. Oh, why didn't they do that? Don't they know better? But I see now it's something much more insidious and much more evil, and it's becoming a systematic thing.
Now you're working in a nursing home, right? Or
right
a convalescent
now,
home?
What I do is I travel around to nursing homes and rehab facilities and take care of wounds.
So when you order a test, you expect it to be done when the patient goes to the hospital and comes back to the home.
Yes, when they go. Well, normally when you send someone to the hospital and they have X, you would expect these tests to be done.
Right.
It's kind of a routine. You know, that's how a doctor's mind
to
works.
Help you make a decision right. on how to best treat them.
Correct. Our minds are like little algorithms. You know, that's
right.
how we're trained. You have these symptoms, you do these tests. And that's the way we were trained. And that depending on the test, you order other tests, you order other medications. That's how we diagnose and treat diseases. That's how we're trained mm-hmm. in our residencies. But I think that whole thing is changing now because no longer the same kind of algorithms aren't there anymore. You see?
Mm.
So whereas when I was trained, we never said this woman is 75 and has metastatic breast cancer, so we're not going to give her a chemo like they do in England, okay? I wasn't trained like that. I was trained to do what the patient needs
right.
to keep them well, okay?
Right.
Within reason, always within reason, okay? If someone is dying within the next 8 hours, you're not going to shove an IV
right.
into them or a feeding tube.
Yeah.
It makes no sense. In fact, it's not compassionate. But things have changed. So there are communities of doctors out there that associated with medical centers, well-respected places where patients go and they get good care, and the doctors make decisions that are not really based on my Catholic principles, do you see,
yeah.
or my Christian principles. That's not the way it is anymore. So I think it's a whole system change. So when you say Obamacare is coming in to change this, I think a lot of things have really changed already, and Obamacare, just like the women were getting many abortions in the old days before abortion was legalized, okay, now this kind of care is going to be legalized, okay, so that no more will someone have to have a little discussion and try to convince you not to give your family care, which goes on every day in every hospital and every nursing place, okay. Every day.
Well, what are some of the things that, like, raise your ire? I mean, what are things that are going on that we should be questioning?
Well, I think it's very complicated. The medical field is very complicated. So to try to answer all of those questions is really almost impossible to do. However, I think the most important thing to do for me as a physician, for the nurses as nurses, and for every one of the people in this audience, okay, is to know your faith, to know what you're supposed to be doing, okay, to be informed, to be educated, to know your catechism, okay, and so that you can behave that way wherever you happen to be.
Mm-hmm.
So if someone says something to you that you know is blatantly wrong, that you have an informed area inside of you which reacts as, no, 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 that's not right. You hear someone say, you know, your mother will be much better off without that. Dying of dehydration doesn't hurt. And in a couple of weeks, it'll be over, you know. And then that's what she deserved. She's had a long life of, you know, doing everything for you. You know,
so guilt you into killing your parents.
You see, it's very seductive to people. They don't even think they're killing them. No, they think they're doing something right. But if you were an informed Catholic, okay, you would know. Wait a second, that's not allowed. We can't be doing that. People deserve water. Plants get water. Hold on, that doesn't make sense to me. Even as a human being, or the natural law. You know, this is God's child. God's child deserves to be treated with respect. Hold on here, okay? So I think we have to learn ourselves so that we are not victims of a system which soon will be foisted upon you.
Yeah.
Where these decisions will be made for you. Where you really will not have too many choices at the matter. You will not have choices. If Obamacare goes through, the way the medical system will be set up is that other people will be making decisions for you, okay? Oh, sure, you can have your own insurance, like they say to the companies. You can give your own insurance. People can buy their own insurance. Well, what they're going to do is make it financially impossible for people to buy their own insurance or for businesses to even give you insurance when you work for them. So you will be forced into buying the Obamacare. Mm-hmm. That's what's going to happen.
We already know that the Obama administration is willing to attack our religious liberties in, as far as forcing religious organizations, Catholic organizations in particular, to purchase birth control and sterilization and abortion-causing drugs. So you can really see that it won't take any step or any. You know, it's a no-brainer that they would again force, you know, basically euthanasia on our elderly or our disabled, or you know, people who they would deem not
worthy,
fit, or worthy.
Not worthy.
Right.
And that's exactly what will happen. That's what's happened in England, for instance.
Tell us about that. What's going on in England?
I think in order to see what will happen in a system of this kind of medical care, you just need to go to the countries where it's already been established.
Right.
Okay.
And Obama said he did use, like, he did.
Oh, yeah, like, he did. Right. Because they have it down.
Right.
So in England, for instance, I just read an article that was published in one of their journals, which stated that now, I believe it was 29% of the people who die in the hospitals are on the this like sort of compassion protocol that they're put on by their doctors.
A third of the people.
Who die,
right.
Okay, are on this kind of pathway. So when I was a doctor, you might have someone on a pathway to save their life. Now, there's sort of a different pathway, which is to limit costs. Okay, that's what they do. They only have so much money. They can only give so much care. So they cut the costs. That's what they do. And how do you cut the costs? Well, any businessman will know. You cut the costs, you cut your losses. You know, you take someone who's 75, who maybe has maybe a 9-year lifespan by the actuarial tables, and has metastatic cancer. No chemo for them. Thousands of dollars saved. And they do this in England all the time. This is routine. This is not something unusual.
And we've actually known this for years.
That's right. But even subtle things like if you need a hip replacement. I don't know, my hip's beginning to hurt me. I turned 60. My hip's beginning to hurt.
Get it done now.
A preemptive strike. What happens there is if you need something like that, which improves people's quality of life, and we're talking about we're God's creatures. We deserve this quality, right? This quality and sanctity. This is a holy person and needs to walk to church every day, right? You need the hip replacement. Here you'd get it like this. Okay, in England, you go on a list. So you might wait a year. You might wait more. Okay, so that kind of thing also has to do with pro-life. Do you see?
Mm-hmm.
Life is being able to walk around and doing things and doing what you need to do.
Yeah, if there's something, God's love. If there's something that can be done to help you, then it should be done.
It should be done within reason. Now, the problem is, within reason, when it's decided by reasonable people who have consciences that are informed like yours, which generally in America, that used to be the same way. If you were Catholic, Protestant, Jewish, and atheist, you still had that same desire to maintain life.
Right.
That was
a moral guiding post.
Of course.
Yeah.
You know, that was what America was. That's what brought people here.
Yeah. That's okay? What made America different than
That's
other countries.
That's what made America great, okay? And now it's gone. It's not gone, but it's gone in certainly in the government. And if we get this, it will certainly be gone. You know, and I'm not one to hang crepe and to get people upset. I mean, seriously. Because I think the other side of this is every day you can love everybody around you and counteract this negativity. So you don't have to just give up. Okay, I see that every day. And as a physician, I can get very, very, you asked me what really galvanizes me,
right.
Okay? Well, you know, I don't want people to die in front of me for no reason and to accelerate their death, okay? I'm not going to do that. I'm going to do what's right for them. So as a physician, I have a choice. I can get very disturbed about Obamacare. I can get very disturbed about what happens in England. Say, oh, that's going to happen
right,
here.
Right, right.
I can get it can distract
paralyze
me.
You, yeah.
It can paralyze you. And it, not only that, it can make you a very negative, angry person who doesn't want to deal with anything. I don't know about any other doctors, but I don't really have a lot of time to go out on to walk in the demonstrations. I do it occasionally, but... You know, it's hard work. I got to take care of these people. But the plus side is that no one's taking away that free will of ours yet, you see. On a day-to-day basis, we can still do whatever we can do, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So I can still go into that guy who was denied the test, and I can order, I can still get it. I can figure out a way to do it, you know. It's a little battle, but I'll do it because I know his life is worth something. I'm not going to accept what someone else told me.
Yeah.
So that's basically it, to be encouraged by what we can do also right now.
That's a really great motivator. Right now we're going to break just for a brief infomercial and come right back.
We didn't pick this fight. It was imposed upon us, but we're not going to run from it. This is a huge mistake. You don't compromise with a mistake, and you don't compromise on principles.
The government reaching its hands directly into religious ministry.
The Bureau of the Federal Government seems to be radically intruding into the internal definition of what a church is.
Assurance that the people of the United States will not stand by.
This infomercial, you know, just talks about the HHS mandate, but we kind of mentioned before, you know, that certain things would be forced on us as patients. Do you feel that certain things like right now, you say you try to work around the system and you treat each person with dignity and try not to hasten their death. Do you feel that there will be mandates that would force you to go against your religious freedoms?
Oh, absolutely. In fact, it was already attempted. I was an emergency doctor for 30 years, as you know, and I left to take care of my dad, who passed away in January, by the way.
Sorry about that.
A beautiful sending home, okay? So sad, but good.
Right,
you know,
good,
the way it should go. And as an emergency physician, I had to work in a state, Connecticut. Connecticut, the home of many anti-life issues, correct?
Yeah.
And here, a law was passed that stated that I had to give the morning after pill to any woman who came who was raped. And I would not do that because it's wrong. It's an abortifacient. And I was living in this state, and I was told by everybody in the state that I had to do that. There was a law passed. I would not do that. So already my religious freedom, that's the big example that I had. Of course, there are always pressures to give contraception and things like that, which I wouldn't do. And we can get around that by having that religious freedom. And I never had to really deal with that directly.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I left 5 years ago. But I think that no one can take away my freedom.
Yeah.
Is that a good answer for you?
It is, but I mean, are you going to have to, like, would you have to, I mean, leave your job in order to?
Sure.
Well,
that's a no-brainer, right? But no one can keep you.
Right.
No one can take away your freedom. And you are a child of God, and you have the freedom of that. That is true freedom.
And how many good doctors are we going to lose if they're forced to do things that they...
How many good doctors have we lost already because they're doing things which are against their faith?
Wow.
You know, I have that group, the Eucharistic Helpers of the Sick, for doctors and nurses and other healthcare people. And it's a small group, let me tell you, because to actually live your faith in your workplace is very difficult.
And you'd think, you know, the healthcare field should be the place where our faithful, moral people should be.
Yes, and I think...
Because that's where you live your faith.
Yes, and I think, just like anyone, there are many people who live their faith there and quietly live their faith. The problem is, as the pressure gets stronger from the other side, you said, you know, the pressures are getting more and more and more, and as these atrocities get codified, okay, which is what's going to happen if Obamacare comes into play, I mean, who's going to be able to be a doctor if you're Catholic?
Right.
If you have to give, you know, promote abortion, euthanasia, and giving contraception even, you know, who's going to be able to be a Catholic doctor? So it can be very distressing, okay? It can be very distressing, but no one can take away my freedom. You know, I am an American. I am a Catholic. I am a physician. So I am a Catholic first. I'm God's child. I'm an American, so I live in a country which still was founded on freedoms. Whether we're living like that right now or not, I don't know. And I'm a physician, so I've been well educated. And you know, it's my job to use this, okay, to help my fellow physicians understand what it means to really do the right thing, even if we have to lose our job or lose our life. You know, let's face it. If Maximilian Kolbe was in Auschwitz and celebrating Mass and praying for, I can do anything. You know, that's what I say. We can do whatever we can do where we can do it. You know, that's what we have to do. So yes, I might lose my job. I might not be able to work anywhere. A friend of mine joked that we're going to get a boat and take it out to beyond the international waters and practice Catholic medicine
when the
time comes. You know, like those boats that go to...
The abortion boats?
The abortion boats. This would be like the lifeboats.
Lifeboats.
I love that. We may get there.
Yeah.
But, you know, we can't let that... That heaviness,
like a Catholic hospital in international waters.
Yeah, well, you know, Catholic hospitals have caved before.
I know.
Caved before, okay? And even in Connecticut, we were told that in Catholic hospitals, we could give the abortifacient drug to people who were raped. That's what people were told.
That's not even loving or helpful.
It's not loving.
I know.
But fortunately, no one can stop us from loving, right?
True.
So we can do that everywhere.
So, I know that, like, as a physician, you're seeing the effects of, you know, rationing already. And I know that I have relatives, you know, older senior citizen relatives who, you know, jokingly say that before Obamacare goes into complete effect, they're going out and getting all of the medical
stuff
things done that they need to get done, you know, before they won't be able to do it. So you can see that there's already a fear in the country about the implementation of Obamacare.
You know, when you just started saying that, I know this might be terrible, but I thought of Germany in World War II. That's what I thought of. And all those people, it'll never happen to us. All those Jews who lived in Germany, it'll never happen to us. We have money. We have things. You know, it's not going to happen to us.
Right.
You know? But a change has to happen before that. The minds of the doctors kind of had to be seduced away from the right things before anybody would come up with an idea like this, okay? Oh, we're not going to. How could we do this if we had real physicians who were really living according to their Hippocratic oath?
Yeah.
You could never have Obamacare. Never. But the problem is that they've been seduced away all these years.
Yeah.
And there's no one fighting.
But they are so fearful. I mean, like, not everybody's going to stand up and say, oh, I'm not going to do this against my faith or my religion or my beliefs. I'm just gonna, it because I'm not gonna lose my job over
that's
it.
The
I've got kids in college. It's
that's your choice.
Scary.
That is your choice. But you do have to answer to the Almighty God at the end. I mean, that's the bottom line, right? That's the big punctuation
right.
mark.
Right. The people forget.
Right. And I think what happened in Nazi Germany is, I'm not saying that's happening here.
Yeah.
But I'm saying that it's pretty frightening to think that things which were so anti-life actually go on every day in the hospitals, in the nursing homes, in the doctor's offices, every single day. It's almost unspeakable and impossible to even comprehend. But that's the way it is now. So I don't think Mr. Obama, not to give him so much credit, that he really instituted a system that's going to destroy God's people. It's been going on before that, okay? And he's just making it into
law. An instrument, yeah.
Right, he's making it into law, okay? That's what's happening. And we have to fight it. We still have to fight it. Thursday, as we're taping, we'll know what the Supreme Court says, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So praying, pray. And love.
And we need more people of faith to go into the medical field and fight it from the inside.
We do, but you can't do it alone.
Right.
And that's what Eucharistic Helpers is about, because we give each other encouragement, okay? And whoever's out there who's a doctor or a nurse, please come. Because you need that support. As things get more difficult, you need more support. We need to be together with each other as Catholics.
Thank you so much for joining us today and sharing.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope that you tell your family and friends about the things that you learned on the Face of Pro-Life. And we hope when you look in the mirror the next time, you'll realize yours too is the Face of Pro-Life. Join us again next time.